Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be jolly, but it's also the season of giving. And we were just talking to Comcast about Stuff the Slay and how you can donate to that and be a part of that, make that a family tradition where you go to one of their Xfinity stores and drop off gifts for kids between 11 and 14 years old from November 25th until mid-December. So that those kids who would not otherwise have a Merry Christmas gets an opportunity to feel loved and have a toy, right? An immediate impact, something that you can do that will make a lasting impression on a child. And I had a chance this past week to be a part of something amazing. I was working with my friends at Bremer Bank to assemble kits, and we put in dishwasher detergent and spatulas and forks and knives and blankets and plates and cups. And these kits will help people transitioning out of homelessness. And you know, half a day or so, we put 750 welcome home kits together. And they were assembled and will be given to families across the upper Midwest. It's a collaboration between Bremer Bank and Greater Twin Cities United Way. The employees were there. The folks were there. And it was just, it was such a blessing to see. They call it Home for Good program, the Home for Good program. And I was at the office at Lake Elmo. I was like, give me one of them Bremer jackets and we're going to stuff these boxes and pack the boxes and wrap them in plastic and ship them out so that people coming out of homelessness will have a box with a lot of the things that they need so they don't have to go to the store to buy them. And the thing that was even more special to me was it wasn't just all the stuff that was in there. That was great, right? But each box had a personalized note in it so that these families, a lot of them with children coming out of homelessness, will know that somebody cares. And so I said, I got to bring somebody from Bremer Bank on to the show so we can talk more about this. So I invited Justin Butler, Bremer's Chief Risk Officer, and you are a United Way board member, sir. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate the invitation. I appreciate it.
Now, Justin, I was putting those boxes together with the towels and the washing powder and the dishwasher detergent and the spatulas and the spoons and the cups and the plates. And that box was full of goodies for a family transitioning out of homelessness. But I have to tell you, it was those personalized notes that I knew was going to mean so much to those families so they would know that this wasn't just a box that dropped out of the sky, but that somebody cared about them. Talk to me about the Home for Good program.
Yeah, you know, Sheila, it's a really strong program for us. You know, there's over 10,000 people across Minnesota that experience homelessness on any given night, right? And so this is our way to do our part in the community. And so, you know, Bremer's purpose has always been for over 80 years cultivating thriving communities. And in this particular way, I think partnering with organizations like the Greater Twin Cities United Way to pack these boxes with all the great things that you just kind of talked through – way of ensuring that we can do our part, right? And so when we think about that kind of transitioning into stable housing, housing is essential to building a thriving community, right? And so when you have stable housing that leads to better school outcomes for you, better grades, better housing leads to more job stability as well, right? And so when we think about what these families need, that is foundational, and we're just happy to be able to play a little bit of a small part in that.
And it is not a small part. I just, you know, as we were packing the boxes, in my mind, I played it over in a different scenario, and I could see kids unpacking the boxes and families unpacking the boxes. Coming out of homelessness, you go into someplace new and you're happy to have it, but it's empty. A lot of times there's nothing in there. And if you don't have anything, you can't get anything. And to have four plates and four cups and a set of silverware for your children and enough dishwasher detergent to do 12 loads of laundry, that means something. And I don't want it to get lost that we're just putting these boxes together and somebody on the other end is going to be unpacking them. You know, I want to talk about the importance of an event like this and why you chose, of all things, to do an initiative like this?
Sure. You know, this is our fifth year with Home for Good. And that's over 2,700 families and individuals that we've been able to provide boxes to. And it's just really, to the point that you made, it's fundamental, right? It's things that we all sometimes take for granted, that we have forks and cups and dishwashing detergent. These are things that we maybe take for granted on a day in and day out basis, but not everyone has access to that. And so as you enter back from homelessness into stable housing, we just wanted to make it a little bit easier and things that you don't necessarily need to think about, right? As you're getting back on your feet, we wanted to make sure that we were enabling folks to make sure that they had what they needed so they can move on to the next phase of stable housing. And so, you know, for us, it's impactful. The entire team at Bremer gets together, you know, to your point, 750 boxes, but they all had a unique card in there, right? And so when we launched our Twin Cities or United Way, I should say, campaign in October and early November, we had our staff write out individual cards, right? And so we understand what Home for Good is. It's a fabric of the fall for Bremer, and everyone really is more than willing to kind of pitch in and write letters because it's the least that we can do to help serve our community. So it's really an impactful and I think an enterprise-wide program for us, and we're happy to be a part of it and partnering with the United Way and with you as well. We appreciate you coming out and packing boxes and seeing the services and the program that we're putting together there.
Well, you know, one of the things that I like to do is when I'm talking about a program or telling people about it, I want to see it. I want to live it. I want to breathe it. I want to feel it. I want to touch it. And, you know, we pack boxes and I went all the way to the dock where they were loading the boxes up to ship it to families. And, you know, each one of the employees was so excited to be there. And, you know, they were holding each other accountable. They were having fun contests. Like I had on my flat 8 boxes and the group in front of me had 10. And I was like, they can't be outdoing us. So we tried to fit 10 boxes on and we were trying to do it faster than them. And you know, just having a fun way of getting the boxes done, getting it to the families, hoping that, you know, somehow that love that we felt putting those boxes together translates. And when those families open those boxes, they can feel that love in some way. And I just can't thank you enough, Justin, for the work that you do to merge and marry corporate and nonprofit. And it's not lost on me that you are, you know, one of the board members at United Way, and you're the chief risk officer at Bremer Bank. You know, there's a story in the Star Tribune today about how corporations have funded the arts in Minnesota, and some of that funding is going away. Talk to me as we have CEOs and VPs and executive VPs listening to this show about the importance of companies who are based right here in the Twin Cities, in our great state of Minnesota, to partner with our nonprofits so that, you know, and I know that's one of Bremer's missions is, you know, to make this a thriving community.
That's right. And, you know, as one of the larger nonprofit makers in the area, we get kind of a firsthand view of how nonprofits operate, right? What they are extremely successful at and some of the challenges that they have. And so, you know, the challenges there are always around funding, right? And revenue cures all ills. And so, you know, we think about it in our employees supporting through serving on nonprofit boards. We have dozens upon dozens of our employees who serve on nonprofit boards throughout our footprint. But we also fund nonprofits as well through our charitable giving. And so, you know, it is extremely important that companies that are headquartered here in the state of Minnesota have an understanding for the nonprofits that exist, what their mission, what their outcomes, what their goals and objectives are, but also what their struggles are. And it's not just enough to cut a check, right? The check is very important to the lifeblood, to the operations of the organization. But really, an organization, a corporation inside of the state has time, talent, and treasury, right? And so if we can give all three of those things to the nonprofits in our community, we will set a more strong case for how these nonprofits can survive, and not just survive, but thrive at the end of the day. They are filling a need somewhere, whether it's education, whether it's food stability, whether it's homelessness. There are so many different elements that a corporation can get engaged in that meet their philanthropic thrust. And so I just implore all corporations that are here, small and large, right? And so whether you're running a small business or you're running a Fortune 100 business, we can all do our part, right? That part may look and feel a little bit different, but there's a role for every corporation to play. And so, you know, I think about my time at the Greater Twin Cities United Way and how Bremer not only does the Home for Good, but we have our annual campaign, and we have two board members, myself and our chief marketing officer, Aaron Dady, both serve on the board of directors. And so there's a commitment, not just on the time, but the treasury and the talent that we can lend. And so we continue to do so. And I just encourage everyone to really, one, take a look at the United Way, because I think the diversity of services, direct services, and then kind of the support for other nonprofits as well through the United Way gives you a myriad of different options for how to support your community and learn what's happening in the community as well. And so I think it's incumbent upon individuals who are listening and corporate leaders as well to make sure that they're matching their corporate philanthropic strategies along with the community strategies that are out there as well.
Well, I can't thank you enough for all the work you're doing to make sure that these families coming out and transitioning out of homelessness thrive with the work you do at Bremer Bank, the Home for Good program, and these boxes and kits that you put together and give them along with a personal note as they begin this new journey. Justin Butler, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You have a great one.
All right. You as well. We'll be right back. It is 2:23. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. I have to tell you, the one thing I love about this show is that we engage with people online in real time. Like, I'm talking to Justin Butler with Bremer Bank and their Home for Good program with the United Way and how they help families transition in out of homelessness, and people are getting more information and want to know if they can donate. And then I was talking to Rachel Johnson at Comcast about Stuff to Slay with KSTP, and folks were like, where can I go and what's the age and when does it start? And, you know, folks be talking to me on social media like I'm not really live doing a whole radio show right now, but I love that part. So I have to say hey to Stacy Pompey and Marie Fetter and Margaret Sullivan and Nancy Mallett and Jabbar Hassan. They are all on social media saying hey, listening, tuning in. So that is great. Hey, y'all. Hey, live from Ohio. I'm in Columbus hanging out with my best friend, Christopher Williams. We have been knowing each other for 30 plus years. And so when I saw the story in London, Ohio, about the little boy who was rescued from the lake, who had autism, who wandered away from home, I thought this is a perfect opportunity to not only do a door lock donation event with the London Police Department, but also to hang out with my best friend. And since I'm at his house, I have taken over his man cave doing my radio show. I figured I might as well ask him to join me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And he is live making his debut on the Shaletta Show. Hey, Chris. Is he there?
He should be.
Okay, well, where he at? Do y'all have him on the phone?
I do. It's not connecting. Give me 1 second to get Chris. 1 second.
All right, let's get Chris on the phone because my friend Paul Douglas, who y'all know and love, he calls me Hurricane Shaletta because he says when I come in the room, it's just like a storm is whipping up. And so it's just like a lot of, you know, energy, a lot of electricity, a lot of everything, right? And so he's like, yeah, Shaletta, we're going to start calling you Hurricane Shaletta. And I was like, okay, that sounds good. I like that. Not necessarily storm for the X-Men, but Hurricane Shaletta. That's good because I'm from Texas. We do hurricanes there. I like to drink hurricane. And so I said, yeah, let's do it. And so I don't think my friend Chris was ready for me.
That hurricane knocked out the phone line, Shaletta. That's what happened.
Well, girl, y'all got to call him back because I want to get him on the show so we can have fun and talk. Mm-hmm. So Chris was not ready for me. He was not ready for me to come in with the live giveaway event. So he took the day off from work yesterday and he put his Shaletta shirt on. And when you wear that shirt, that's like a badge of honor. Right. And so we went to the Lock Donation giveaway event and he had to remind me. He was like, listen, I'm not your husband and we're not married. So you're not going to be bossing me around. Okay. But he was there with the people and the kids and he was toting the locks out to the car. And you know what, friend, you really helped me because usually when I go to different cities like Boston and so many other places to do these lock giveaways, I don't have anybody with me. I'm toting the locks. I'm greeting the people. I'm giving the tutorials about how to install them. It's just me. And just to have you there yesterday, it just took such a load off. It was so much fun working with you in community and doing this. I love you.
Shaletta, you know I love you as well. No, I was just going to say, you know, based off of what you just said, it was an honor for me to be able to come to the event with you and support you in whatever way. The fact that you dropped everything that you had to come to London, Ohio, to give your time and attention to these parents of these children was a beautiful thing. And I wanted to be there to support you in any way that I could. And I'm thankful that I'm in Ohio in this point in my life where I could be here to support you in this way.
And I am too. And you know, I'm you know, some people know this, you better than others. I'm a lot. And I'm a lot to take. And, you know, we haven't spent multiple days together in a while. And so I don't know if your cholesterol and your blood pressure was ready for me. I'm going to try to tone it down, 2 or 3 notches so that when I leave here, your doctor don't have to put you on blood pressure medicine.
Yes, you are a lot. And that is true, but I love you anyway. And in 30 years that I've known you, I've learned how to manage. So my doctor is okay, is fine with everything, but I will be going to get a checkup.
Now, you have a secret to dealing with me because people have asked you, people that know the both of us, like, how you put up with, how you deal with Shaletta? Y'all been friends for 30 years. How you do that? But you have a recipe for success in maintaining and managing our friendship so that we love each other and we don't kill each other.
And I would give this advice to anyone who knows Shaletta in all her glory. You have to take her in doses. Take her in small doses.
Okay, so what do you mean by take her in small doses?
So Shaletta will be here, or Shaletta has been here for a couple of days. And after Shaletta leaves, I will need a little bit of a detox. I call it a Shaletta detox. So I can recharge. So here's and I think you know this, Shaletta. I'm a bit of an introvert. Even coming on to your show is a leap for me. And so with introverts, you have to know that we need time to recharge. You, my friend, are very much an extrovert. With that dynamic, I need to be able to recharge.
Okay. All right. So I will take that time.
Once you leave, while you're here, I'm here with you 100%. But once you leave, I will take some time to recharge.
Okay. Okay. And so that Shaletta detox just means no Shaletta for a little while. Is there like a cocktail that you take, a cigar that you need to smoke, a special drink that folks drink when I leave? Is there some, you know, cause I have a couple of other friends, you and Fanshawn and a couple of others who, are introverts. And so is there something special with the Shaletta detox that y'all do to help y'all get y'all, metabolism back up? Cause I come in and I know I suck the life out of you. I know I do that.
Yes. All of the above. There will be some time. There may be a beverage.
Okay.
There will definitely be a cigar.
Okay.
But yes, all of the things that you just mentioned.
Okay. All right.
And as you know, next week for Thanksgiving, I am going to Texas and I'll be spending time with my family. And with them, once I get back, I will detox from them too.
Okay. Okay. So wait, you don't have much time between your Shaletta experience and your family experience. So it's pretty much a plane ride because we pretty much leave out around the same time. I think I gave you like an hour or so. So you might want to take advantage of that because you're going straight from me to the family Thanksgiving experience. Mm.
Absolutely. I have my headphones charged up for noise canceling. So I will be on the plane. I the person who sits next to me, you know, God love them. They will get all the peace that they need because they will not have to worry about me bothering them.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm so glad that you allowed me to bother you, that you opened up your home and your life and your schedule to me. You were there with me at the donation giveaway. It was raining. It was cold. The families who come to pick up locks that needed more than one, they got to keep a hand on their child because they're a wanderer. And then they got to carry those locks out. And you were so conscious of that. And you just, you know, kept going back and forth with the locks and the families. And every time you got back in, another family came and, you know, you had to go outside with more locks and you were all wet and cold. And I was all nice and warm and toasty and dry and entertaining the folks who came in. And so you just allow me to be a blessing to those families. And I just thank you and I love you. And, you know, 30 years of friendship, you just mean so much to me.
And you mean so much to me. And in all seriousness and jokiness aside, I enjoyed my time yesterday to see those families and to see how they appreciated what you were doing for them actually gave me life. And it made me feel really great about being able to be a part of something so special. So thank you for coming and allowing me to be a part of it. I really do appreciate
and
it.
And if any of you ladies out there want to see what my best friend Christopher Williams, who is single and successful, looks like, I'm getting ready to put up a link to a story that ABC6 in Columbus did. He's in the story. He looks amazing. And so I'm going to post that. Any request for information about my very single and successful friend, you can find in my DMs. Y'all stick around. There's more to come on the Shaletta Show. It is 2:38 and my kids are in Minnesota listening to the Shaletta Show. They are coming from the Mall of America doing some window shopping. I'm sure planning on what they are going to buy for me for Christmas. And my daughter Cameron is listening and she was like, "Mommy, you're getting ready to talk to Santa Clarence without me?" And I said, "Yes." And so she is constantly texting me because she is so sad that she is missing an opportunity to talk to Santa Clarence. She said, "Tell Santa Clarence I said hi." So Santa, from my family to you, they all want to say hey because they love you so much.
They say hey, and I say ho, ho, ho. Thank you for having me here.
Oh, my gosh, Santa, you are amazing. I'm talking to the illustrious, award-winning, amazing Santa Clarence. He is based right here in the Twin Cities, an African-American Santa for all families. You don't have to be a black family to have a black Santa. Black families have been having white Santas for years, so it's about time we switch this thing around. Now, Santa, You know, I've got these three kids with autism, and for so long, I would have to have the therapist or family members come with me to take them to the mall. We'd stand in line, even on sensory friendly Santa Day, but just standing in that line, waiting in that line, the kids will fall out. We'd have to get out of line and we'd come back and the people who just got there would be mad and think we were skipping. And then we get in there and they may have a reaction to the Santa, even though he's a sensory friendly Santa. And it just started being too much. And I don't know who told me about you or how I found out, but they said, why don't you just have Santa come in the house? You got four kids. You just have Santa come in the house and y'all take y'all's pictures in the house. And I was like, that is brilliant. And the rate at which you charge families wasn't that much different than what I was paying to leave the house. And by the time I spend gas and park and the stress of getting there and the stress of standing in line, for me, it was a no-brainer. So you've been coming to us, and it's so much easier for our family. We have a good time. You can stick around. It's individualized. It's personal. And so I'm just encouraging families who have kids with autism or other special needs that can't get to the mall or get to a Santa's village. It's sometimes easier to come into the home, right, Santa Clarence?
It is so much easier, you know. Taking your autistic child to the mall, you know, can trigger a lot of different reactions. You know, I mean, being around all those people, hearing all the different sounds, the different smells, unfamiliar places, you know, is a lot of overstimulation for that autistic child, and it's something you don't want to bring to them. Having a personalized visit from a Santa to come to your home, you know, it creates a different environment, you know, for your child. It's being at home is one of the best things for this child that they can have. You know, it's about the comfort of being at home. It's about the familiarity of knowing your home and being around family. It's a whole calming experience for Santa to come and visit an autistic child at their home versus going to the mall. One of the benefits of being at home with that child, that parent or that guardian can oversee what's going on, and that parent or that guardian knows the things that may trigger their child to have an episode. And you are the voice and the reasoning that leads that Santa to be able to do his job, bring that merriment to your child, and everybody have a great and wonderful experience. Clarence experience.
Amen. And you know, Santa Clarence, one year we got there and we got through the line and we went to take our pictures. And baby, I wish you could have seen them pictures. It was a hot mess. We couldn't get it together. Daniel wouldn't stop crying. Cameron was upset. Brandon was agitated and irritated. Andrew was too old and didn't want to be there with the little kids. And we got there and just taking a picture, I said, okay, that's fine. But we couldn't get out the mall, you know, because they held and stressed out the whole time to get there. And then just walking out of the mall, I caught all kind of hell. So I said, we're not doing this again. And I was talking to Lisa Castile, and she said, you need to hire Santa Clarence to come into the house versus trying to get to the mall. Because even if you get there and take the picture, getting out of there is a whole nother ballgame. And last year was beautiful. I sent the kids outside to play. And Santa came in and we got set up and I said, y'all come on in. We're going to build our gingerbread houses. And they came in there. Santa was there. They were able to give Santa their letters. Santa read a story. Santa played with them. We did the gingerbread houses and then Santa left and we didn't have to leave the house. We didn't have to park. We didn't have to fight the crowds. It was a beautiful experience, Santa Clarence.
Amen. Amen. And that's what I aim to bring as well. You know, it's about comfort. It's about being familiar. It's about safety. And really, it's about helping that child have a memorable experience.
Okay, so you got to tell me this because I've got my autism moms and dads out here, and they are texting me like I'm not really on the radio right now because they want to know how they can get in touch with Santa Clarence. Give us your contact information.
Okay, I have a website. It's called SantaClarence.com. SantaClarence.com. And I am what you call a real bearded African-American Santa. I am a part of the North Star Santas here in Minnesota. Me and my wife, Mrs. Claus, we both have professional training as Santas. We are registered as Santas. We have insurance as Santas and Mrs. Claus. And we really take this business of bringing merriment to young people very seriously. And not just young people, but older people, too.
Well, I can't thank you enough. You're going to be at our house for our family's Christmas party. My kids are excited. My mom and dad are going to be there. And y'all better get Santa Clarence at your house if you have a child with special needs or if you just have a Christmas party and you want a real bearded Santa there. Santa Clarence is available. Give us that website one more time real quick, Santa Clarence, before you go.
That's at SantaClarence.com. And when you go there, if you don't see an African-American Santa, you're at the wrong place.
You're at the wrong place. Go back, reboot, refresh, hit refresh. Santa Clarence, give us one more ho, ho, ho. My kids are listening, and they're waiting for their ho, ho, ho from Santa Clarence.
Listen up, kids. Ho, ho, ho. And I will be seeing you very soon at your home. And everybody,
please
have a Merry Christmas and be safe on New Year's Eve and love your neighbor and let's do good things in this country.
Yes. Thank you, Santa Clarence, for being here on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. My friend Steve Thompson is coming up next. It is 2:52. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Before I get up out of here, I got to talk to my friend Steve Thompson, joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Okay, Steve, you know what? I was going to start on my diet. I was going to start eating these carrots and try to lose weight, but the carrots got E. coli. Meanwhile, donuts are not bothering anybody. So I'm going to go back to donuts because donuts don't have any kind of recall on them right now. What in the hell is going on with all of our food being recalled and the E. coli? Organic carrots, Steve? Really? If anything ought to be safe, it ought to be organic carrots.
Well, here's the thing. There's certain things that need to be regulated. And one of those things is the food supply, and we need inspectors, and we need inspectors in all of these plants, and there's just no two ways about it. The safety of the food supply needs government intervention, whether you believe that or not. And your point about donuts, I've never heard a recall on donuts. Never.
Donuts not bothering nobody. Ever. They don't make you sick. Yeah. They make you happy, especially the ones that have sprinkles on them. Oh, my gosh. Now, Steve, you have not talked a lot about it, but I saw you pop up on Threads. I left Twitter. I've got a Threads account now, and I follow you on Threads. There's a big article that I wrote that's coming out tomorrow in the Star Tribune about why I X'd out my Twitter account, and folks are looking for me on Twitter, and I'm not there anymore.
Yeah, you know, I've stayed on both for now because I think it's just the nature of the beast. I think a lot of what I do in sports, there's still a ton of sports content on X and people that I need to follow that haven't moved over. But I think this is the evolution of media, period, you know, where people move on from one thing to the next. Remember way back in the day when AOL was a big deal for email?
Right.
So, you know, I just think it's part of the evolution. I think a lot of people want to point to politics in that and being a factor in it, and it might be. But in reality, if the site isn't behaving in a way that you appreciate, or there's you're exposed to a lot of content you don't want to deal with, well, then it's time to move on. You know.
Yeah, I mean, we moved on from MySpace. We moved on, like you said, from AOL. Life changes. I mean, life changes on a constant, especially the social media thing, on a constant routine basis. The stuff that we thought was going to be it, 6 months later, something else is it. You know, and it's funny because, you know, TikTok is just blown up. It is amazing with these young Steve. Oh. These young people are not even going to YouTube and Google anymore. Remember when everybody was on YouTube? That's where you had to upload your content. It's TikTok now. I was talking to some of my young relatives, asking them about something, and they said, "Oh, I'm just gonna TikTok it." I said, "What is that?" They said, "That's when we look stuff up on TikTok." They don't go to YouTube and Google like we do.
But if you're looking in somewhere to put your money or invest, etc. Who knows what it'll be in 5 years or 3 years or 2 years? Now, who knows what stand the government's going to take ultimately on TikTok, et cetera? Right. But in 5 years, people might say, TikTok? Oh, I kind of remember that. That was cute. And in reality, I think that's how it goes. And speaking of tech, we're going to get into that with Doug next hour between 3 and 4 o'clock. We still have a lot of college football, some teams in the playoffs. Big game over at the U, Penn State, Minnesota today. So we'll have scores. We'll talk some Timberwolves with Kevin Lynch later, all of that sort of stuff.
Yes, and I'm in Ohio, so everybody's excited about this Ohio State big game today. Nobody's on the street. Oh, my God, I'm having a great time. I did a lock donation event yesterday. This little boy wandered away. Police saved him. And so I called the Lincoln, Ohio Police Department, and they said that I could come, and they would partner with me. And yesterday we gave away 50 locks to families in need, Steve.
Oh, that is fantastic. Great work, Shaletta.
Well, I'm just having a blast. These people are treating me like a queen, and I'm meeting so many amazing autism families. And so I feel good. I know folks are going to feel good when they listen to your show. And that is coming up. Steve, thanks for hanging with me.
Oh, yeah. Safe travels home.
I will have a good time coming home on that plane. I'm going to sleep, but don't sleep on Steve Thompson. He's